This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening.
I prefer the death penalty because I prefer people know that if you terrorize our country, you're going to be put to death. And I strongly believe that's how it should be.
A victim of the Boston bombing has no reservations about a death penalty for Jokhar Tsarnaev, who is in federal custody on his way to a federal courtroom to stand trial for his role in the Boston Marathon bombing. We're going to talk about that. Also this hour, we will think about the disappearing nukes since the end of the Cold War and the close-call weapons that were never used, the science and ingenuity behind the genius of painter Johannes Vermeer, and a disgruntled mayor finally gets a seat at the Super Bowl. But we begin with an ambiguity. When the Justice Department yesterday said it had approved pursuit of the death penalty in the Boston bombing case, we were reminded of this statement just last week from Attorney General Eric Holder.
I am personally opposed to the death penalty. As good as our system is, it is ultimately a system that is filled with men and women who are well-intentioned but who make mistakes. And as horrible as it is for somebody to be put in jail for a crime that they did not commit, it is obviously not nearly as bad as a situation where somebody is executed for a crime that he or she did not commit.
Holder's own views have not prevented him from recommending the death penalty in 34 other criminal cases. Should Jokhar Tsarnaev, the accused Boston bomber, ultimately be sentenced to death, it would mark the most significant death penalty case carried out by the federal government since Timothy McVeigh, the man behind the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, executed for a plot that killed 168 people and injured scores more. Vicky Behenna is a former assistant U.S. attorney for Oklahoma who helped prosecute Timothy McVeigh. She has some insights in this matter, clearly. Welcome to the program, Vicky.
Thank you for having me.
What do you make of the pursuit of the death penalty for Mr. Tsarnaev and the apparent on-the-record statements of the Attorney General that he is opposed to the death penalty?
Well, I think that personal positions on the death penalty don't necessarily go into the factors to consider by the Attorney General and whether or not the death penalty will be sought and pursued by the federal government. And so what that tells me is while he might have personal opinions about it, there are certain factors and requirements that he must review in deciding when a recommendation is made by a field office for the death penalty, and that's what he's done.
And what do you think are those considerations regarding Tsarnaev, and how are they similar or different from the Timothy McVeigh case that you're so familiar with?
I think they're very similar. I mean, first, if you consider the wishes and desires to the victims and the families, but there are other factors for homicide. I mean, you consider whether or not the case or the crime was committed during the commission of a particularly heinous act, whether their victims were vulnerable. And so all of those factors are taken into consideration. And in that case, it's very similar to the Timothy McVeigh case.
Attorney General Holder is on the record having recommended against the death penalty in at least one high-profile case of death of a law enforcement officer. I don't know how that necessarily applies here, but I'm wondering, based on your experience with Attorney General Janet Reno, what do you think is going through the mind of Eric Holder right now, and how do you think the people of Boston, and what lessons do you have for the people of Boston, who, of course, have followed every detail in this Tsarnaev case?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't try to presume to know the factors that Attorney General Eric Holder goes through in trying to make decisions about which cases qualify for the death penalty and which don't. I think that the fact that this case was massive, not only massive in that there were numbers of people killed and injured, but the manhunt afterward and his shooting with law enforcement afterward and all of that weighed heavily in his decision making to go forward with the death penalty on this case. You know, when you have a situation where children and innocents, people sitting watching a marathon are killed, and this is planned so methodically by somebody, I think that's a huge factor in determining whether or not the death penalty will be pursued.
Now, in terms of the community in Oklahoma City who was so devastated by the Oklahoma City bombing, what did your prosecution of the McVeigh case tell you about the importance of the death penalty, the significance of the death penalty to victims of a terror attack like this?
Well, it's conflicted. There are some families that believe that they'll feel better, that their pain will be reduced if the perpetrator, in that case, Timothy McVeigh, got the death penalty. There are other family members that grieve privately that don't really want all the publicity and hype that goes with the capital case, and they just want it to go away. And so, and personally, they're not in favor of the death penalty. They don't believe that will make them feel better. It certainly won't bring their loved one back. So when you're preparing for the death penalty and pursuing the death penalty and trying to get the department to agree, it's conflicted because some family members definitely want it, others do not.
Is there a split among field officers? Because they're often dealing very directly with victims because that's part of the investigation.
Well, right. I mean, if you're talking in particular about the assistant United States attorneys that will be handling the case, yes. I mean, I was one of the persons that was responsible for interviewing all the family members in preparation for putting on the death penalty phase of the case. And so, yes, you become very conflicted based upon the stories that you hear. I mean, you become very close to the family members.
In a high-profile case like the McVeigh case, how do you keep from joining what is essentially a vengeful act, a sort of vengeful impulse, as opposed to the methodical effort to find justice in a trial under the Klieg lights of media attention?
You know, that's a great question. And I think initially it is rage and revenge. I remember many times people in my office, and me in particular, making statements, not in my town, not in my city. I mean, this is Oklahoma City. And then as you go through the death penalty phase of the case, and that is preparing the case for trial, preparing the case for the phase two, which is the death penalty part, it becomes very real to you that there is a person over there who now has a face and a name, and the potential at the end of this case is that he's going to be put to death. And so, you know, it's very conflicting for you too. It becomes, you move from that stage of being vengeful, I think, at least for me, and it became very careful in making sure that everything was done correctly and that there was no question that this was the person responsible and that this was the person that should pay the ultimate price for the crime that he committed.
Any advice for the people of Boston? Is this going to close their case, close their sort of emotional turmoil, or what would you tell them?
Well, what I would tell them is to prepare that the emotional part of the case, I mean, they've gone through what they think is the healing process. I mean, they've gone to the funerals, they've had the surgeries, they're all back on the road. Well, a death penalty case opens those wounds again. But Boston is a strong city. That's a great U.S. attorney's office. They're going to handle the prosecution appropriately and well. And everybody's going to come through it. But it's emotionally very tolling on the family members and even the community.
A bit of a warning and a reminder there from Vicki Baheno, who's a former U.S. Assistant Attorney for Oklahoma who helped prosecute the Timothy McVeigh case, now working in private practice. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.